For Llewellyn on Lawrence, your show about local businesses, local issues, and local fun. Here's your host and owner of 23rd Street Brewery, Matt Llewellyn.
I've heard objectifying, like turning them into an object.
Oh, okay. I guess we're on the air here. Okay. Welcome, Lawrence, Kansas. John Flood. Hi, John. How are you?
I'm doing good. Good to have you guys today.
Well, welcome, Lawrence, Kansas, the best city in the world. I am Matt Llewellyn, and this is LOL Llewellyn on Lawrence. And this is the program where we talk about great things going on in Lawrence, Kansas. We talk about local business owners, and what the impact is on this community to buy local and support local things and everything that's going on that makes Lawrence, Kansas such a great community. And today we are going to talk to Sarah Hill Nelson, whose family has been in Lawrence since the beginning of Lawrence. Sarah Hill Nelson, the family who runs the Bowersock Mill, the new structure right on the river that is going to generate power and is just a wonderful thing for this community and one of the things that really makes Lawrence unique. So I'm really excited to talk to Sarah today, and we're going to talk about the architecture of the building. We're going to talk about what it's going to bring to the community. We're going to talk about, I want to hear the history of the Hill family and how everything started with them. But anyway, it's going to be a great show today. So thank you for tuning in, Lawrence. We'll be right back to LOL Llewellyn on Lawrence on the news and talk of Lawrence, 1320 KLWN.
We're back with Llewellyn on Lawrence. Here's your host, Matt Llewellyn.
Okay, welcome back to LOL Llewellyn on Lawrence. I am Matt Llewellyn, and we're here today with Sarah Hill Nelson. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. Thanks. It's a beautiful day out there.
It is. Oh, my God. We've been perfect. So blessed with weather here the last couple days. Let's just hope it keeps on going.
I'm loving it.
Right. We need a little rain, but hey, it's wonderful. And John Flood's kind of gone a little crazy on me today because I'm not hitting my cues so far, but we're gonna have a great hour with you. I'm really excited you're on the program, and Hank Booth decided to drop in on us and has some thoughts for Sarah.
Well, I'm very happy that you said I could have a minute, and I'll try to keep it at a minute because the
Jeremy Taylor usually takes about 15 minutes.
Well, I won't do that.
That's okay.
I want to say just simply that the woman you're interviewing today is one of my heroes, and I say that with total sincerity because I have watched her fashion a dream, a very creative, unusual, amazing dream, and it is literally rising from
the river,
rising from the river, and is going to be reality very shortly. And I think people that do that and make that happen with a lot of support, with a lot of parental support, mom and dad, pretty special people too.
Grandma and grandpa,
lots
and great-grandma,
of
grandma,
lots
grandpa.
Of people, lots of past history there too. But to say very simply that she is one of my heroes, and I count my own daughters as heroes, and I have some young granddaughters that I hope would take someone like Sarah and use this work that she does and has accomplished now as a model. Seriously, because and my grandson, grandsons, I've got two, one's older and one's very young, and use that kind of dream as a model for them as well. Now, having said that, she did something that I don't think anybody 10 years ago would have even thought remotely possible, feasible. That's crazy. And instead of that, it's become a model. This will be a model, what she's done there, will become a model throughout the Midwest in those remote, isolated spots that have a river that moves and runs for other people to do the same thing. End of my speech, minute and 22 seconds.
Boy, you are good.
That's
it.
You're too kind.
The godfather there. There's the godfather of Lawrence Radio, Mr. Hank Booth.
Well,
thank you, Hank, and I couldn't have said it better myself. I couldn't have said it, so thank you very much.
Now tell them about it.
Yeah, now we're going to hear about this. So 90% of the people in this town have seen the Bowersock Mill. 100% of the people in this town. Surely everybody knows what the Bowersock Mill is, right downtown, right on the river. And hopefully everybody has now seen the new creation, the new mill on the other side of the river. And I've got Sarah here to talk about it and tell us how it started and start your project. Let's start about the project you've got going on that's almost done. How did it start and what was the vision that you had to get this thing started?
Sure. Well, why don't I mean, I will start. I think for many, many years, people didn't know Bowersock was there. I mean, there are a lot of people I just spoke
They just thought it was the old building and that was it and nobody...
Where they never even really saw the building. I mean, I think we kind of blended in, and yesterday we had someone in from Ernst & Young in Kansas City, and she said, wow, I went to KU here and I never really noticed this. I never really thought it was here. So
it's with Abe and Jake's and just thought it was Abe and Jake's.
Exactly. She did say she'd spent time at Abe and Jake's. So I think we are suddenly becoming more visible, which is it's scary and exciting at the same time. And I think I really appreciate what Hank said, and my takeaway really is all the people behind me and around me that made this happen. Because, you know, I'm just one figure in this whole team. And so the inspiration really is my dad. And it was his idea and his dream for many, many years to do this. We knew we had
to build
an additional plant there.
Right.
We knew we had enough water in the Kansas River. The dam is there. The impact is there. You know, we should be maximizing that renewable resource. So he had thought of doing it since he brought the plant back into the family in 1972. And finally, all the pieces just came back together to make it a reality.
Well, so, okay, you said something there. So for some reason, I thought the Hill family always owned the Bowersock Mill.
My great-great-grandfather established it in, it was first established, actually, the dam was started in 1874 by a man named Orlando Darling. He had a grist mill on the north side of the river, and there was an energy crisis in the city of Lawrence, and they were looking for other energy resources, and they tried coal, and that didn't work, and they tried natural gas, and that didn't work for a variety of reasons, and so Orlando Darling started to build the dam across the river to make hydropower. He went broke doing it. Then the next set of people that tried it, which was Lawrence Land and Water Power, went broke doing it. And by that time, my great-great-grandfather, J.D. Bowersock, had a flour mill, a grist mill, right on the south side of the river. And he took it over, and he was able to make the dam hold. So it was then in our family until the 1930s when it was taken over by their partners, the Jackman family, which is another longtime Lawrence family. And there may still be Jackmans in town today. I'm not sure. So the Jackmans then held it from the late 30s through 1972 when my dad bought it back to try to supply. He was making paper in the buildings that's Abe and Jake's and the other buildings further downriver from there.
Okay.
In the early 70s. So,
oh, okay.
So it went out of our family for a while, but
it came back.
Came back, yeah.
And so, but then his vision was always to supply a little bit more power through the river.
Yeah, I think my dad he's so committed to the history of the business, and Lawrence and our family's been here for so long, and he's just always had this dream and this passion to do this. And it was really interesting as we were working on this project. They found at the Corps of Engineers in Kansas City these blueprints for this project dated 1924. So
wow,
clearly.
Okay. So hold on. So that would have been was that the Bowersock family? Or
yeah,
the
that would have been when JD was there. And so even as early as 1924, people said, "Hey, this is a good idea. We have enough water. We should be doing this." And then it faded away for many years. And energy markets and made it so that it wasn't really feasible.
Right, because oil and coal were so cheap. And we thought, oh, yeah, we've got so much oil
supply.
And coal, it's endless supply. We're never going to have to worry about it. Well, clearly that's ridiculous thought. But so this is a totally renewable. Now, does this drought scare you at all?
From
a power perspective, clearly it's not a good thing that we're in this drought, but from a crops and all that kind of jazz.
Right.
But from a power perspective, what
does
do?
Make me nervous. In the moment, it's okay for us getting through construction, and I feel a tiny bit guilty saying that. I think we may be some of the only people that are okay with the drought right now.
Okay. Oh, I feel, clearly. Right. I didn't even think about that aspect. Right. That probably helps you right now.
It has helped our construction. So I do feel a little bit guilty about that. So
you know what? That's okay.
Forgive me, Matt.
That's okay. That's all right. At least somebody's benefiting from this.
But I heard Gary Lezak. Well, yeah. I mean, we were able to get through construction. I heard Gary Lezak says it's going to start to rain in October. Can we touch wood, please?
Oh, God.
Because that would be fantastic if we could get this wrapped up. It does make me nervous that we have had intense and long droughts like this. Obviously, if we start having more droughts like this, this is going to be problematic, not only for us, but everybody in the state of Kansas, for agriculture, for our water supply, for, I mean, so many things that we depend on, which I think dovetails back into one of the reasons why we feel so that what we're doing really is really important. We need to be creating resources of energy that are totally non-polluting,
right,
that we know
absolutely
don't cause particulate pollution or any kind of pollution. And you know, sometimes I find when you talk about global warming, people just shut down because they don't want to talk about it. But, you know, if we have the opportunity to create clean, renewable energy that we know does not contribute to anything, I think we should pursue that.
Well, I could not agree more. And I mean, I am absolutely with Hank Booth. This is a wonderful project, and I applaud you for doing it. Now, there might be a couple people who say, well, what about the environmental impact on the fish?
Sure.
Or clearly you've done studies and you know what you have a vision of what could potentially happen. What are the impacts of that?
Sure. We're really proud that we are, we were the 15th hydropower plant in the nation to earn certification as a low impact hydropower plant. So no hydropower plant is no impact.
The new one.
The old one on our dam, our site.
So the old one was a,
was low impact.
And it was the 15th hydro
in the nation. And now they're like, okay. I think there might be 60 of the hydroplants that have earned that designation now. And basically the idea is that we are minimal impact hydropower plant. And what does that mean? It means that we are not adversely impacting any threatened or endangered species. You know, it'd be one thing, you know, in the Pacific Northwest, if you're interrupting some kind of salmon migration.
Right.
Hugely problematic. But here, we don't have any fish that are migrating up and downstream to spawn. You know, so there's no anadromous or catadromous fish living in the Kansas River today. And in fact, over time, people have said, well, maybe we should install a fish ladder there. But now KDWP says absolutely not because...
I'm sorry, KDWP.
The Kansas Department of Wildlife and Parks.
Oh, okay.
And because they believe that the Bowersock Dam is impeding the spread of the Asian carp, which is invading Kansas waterways.
Terrible.
Which is, I will say, pretty terrible.
Which was introduced, by the way. It was... introduced in the Great Lakes, right? I mean, isn't that what's...
Well, the drama now is that they're worried they're going to get into the Great Lakes. So it's coming through Chicago and they're wanting to shock them so they can't enter the Great Lakes. I mean, people are really worried about what's going to happen because they're just so prolific and they're crowding out all the native species and it's a huge problem.
Right. Well, and so, great. So the Bowersock Dam's helping that. Great.
So nice. we, as far as environmental impact, if you looked across the spectrum, it's really hard to find an energy resource that has as little impact as low impact hydropower in a setting like this. You know, it's low head. We aren't impounding a huge lake behind us. We minimally raise the level of the water in the river upstream of us. So...
And that gives us KU rowing ability.
Believe me, we
wouldn't have the KU rowers.
KU rowing cannot wait till we get this done because they have been a little frustrated and thankfully patient while we undertook construction because it's been a little hard for them. But once we get this thing done, you know, we're going to have inflatable bladders all the way across the dam. We won't have those manually raised wooden flashboards anymore.
Okay.
So we'll be able to stand in the powerhouse and flip a switch and inflate these bladders and keep that mill pond full all the time upstream. So that's good for the University of Kansas rowers, the City of Lawrence Kaw River Water Treatment Plant, and also Westar Energy upstream depends on the mill pond to be able to have cooling water for the 600 megawatt coal-fired power plant. So There are a lot of people that are excited about that. And I will tell people, we did look into seeing if we could get the big bladders in crimson and blue. they weren't available. Our project manager, who's a K-State grad, looked into purple gray.
Please tell me we're not going to have purple ones.
They're black. They're black.
Okay. So. All right. Okay. Well, that is all. Okay. I you've generated about a million more questions for me. This is really cool. This is really neat what's happening. We haven't even talked about half the stuff we said we're going to talk about anyway. All right. But we're going to go right back to sports on the 23s real quick and then come back and continue our conversation with Sarah Hill Nelson.
News and talk of Lawrence, 1320 KLWN. Mexico wins the Olympic gold. In. Ready for this one, Matt? Am I going to be a spoiler still?
Oh, a spoiler alert? Spoiler alert?
Mexico wins the gold medal in men's soccer. Beats Brazil 2-1.
Okay. All right. Nice job. Nice work.
All right. You want some other?
Absolutely. No, bring it.
Well, no, I don't have any finals.
About the Americans, though, John Flood.
I'm going to stick to the Americans here, my friend.
Okay.
The U.S. women's basketball team is going to play for the fifth straight Olympic gold medal today in London. They're going to take on France in the final.
Awesome.
The men's basketball
team. We'll beat
them. Men's basketball team is going to take on Spain tomorrow for the gold medal.
Okay. Chalk it up. Another victory. Yeah, got two more gold medals.
Coach K does a great job as coaching the Olympians. Says he is going to step aside as the coach of the U.S. Olympic team after tomorrow's gold medal game. He's been with the program since 2005. Remember back in 2004, Matt? In the Athens game, the U.S. Olympic men's basketball team finished third. There was a lot of, ooh, that's not good. So Coach K has done well there.
He's done very well, yep. and I love it. And I tell you, John, did you watch the Olympics last night at all?
A little bit. I sure did. I watched some of the running. Yeah, the track.
What about the last night they had a kind of an expose about the Dream Team.
I did not see that.
It was awesome. It was so, and I'm talking about the original Dream Team.
1992.
Michael Jordan, Charles Barkley. Larry Bird, Magic Johnson. It was absolute. I just got goosebumps. And I'm not a pro basketball guru or huge fan, but that team was awesome.
Sure
was.
And
they brought back the gold to the United States
in
dominating fashion.
They did.
It was really cool.
Could have used those guys in 2004 in Athens.
Absolutely.
We didn't get the gold or the silver.
Could have used them in 88 when we.
You're right. That's what sparked it all, right?
Right. Right.
Yeah, back in 88. Hey, by the way, after a few days to reflect on her four gold medal performance at the London Olympics, 17-year-old swimmer Missy Franklin, the Missile, says she's still leaning toward college over cash.
Oh, really?
Well, she's probably getting all these phone calls and emails. And
I would have wanted her to be a spokeswoman for the 23rd Street Brewery. I'm sure that Sarah would like her to be a spokeswoman for the Bowersock Mill.
Well, we'll see. If you can... bring up the amount of money maybe she will request, you could have it.
I don't think I can generate that kind of marketing cash.
Also, Tiger Woods is going to play the third round of the PGA Championship in the final pairing of the day alongside Vijay Singh. They start at 2 o'clock this afternoon. They're playing down in Kiawah Island, South Carolina. That's Sports on the 23s. We'll continue with Matt Llewellyn next here on 1320 KLWN.
We're back with Llewellyn on Lawrence. Here's your host, Matt Llewellyn.
Welcome back, Lawrence, Kansas. This is Matt Llewellyn. I'm talking to Sarah Hill Nelson today about the Bowersock Mill and everything that's going on. And so when we left Sarah, we were talking about, we talked about all kinds of things. But so let's talk about the mill specifically now, the new mill.
Sure.
Which, by the way, I think looks awesome. It just is another part of what's great about Lawrence, Kansas. But you said that your dad had this vision when he bought the mill back in 72. This was his vision initially, and I remember talking to you specifically about it probably 6 years ago because I had a question about wind power, mm-hmm. and you and I got into and another all kinds of renewable resources. But when did it all start coming to fruition, and how did it all get going?
Yeah, we my dad had been considering doing this for a long time, and then the pieces slowly started to fall into place. They In 2008, we got a new plant manager. His name is Rich Foreman. Brilliant guy. Highly capable. Had run hydropower plants all over the upper Midwest.
Let me interrupt you for one second.
Yeah.
How much power does the old mill generate?
The old mill is 2.35 megawatts, and that feeds between 1,500 and 1,800 homes, depending on the day. And the new mill with the two of them together, we're going to make 7 megawatts, which is will be about 3 times what we did before in terms of annual production.
So 9,000 homes?
Well, it'll be over 33. It'll be basically 33 million kilowatt hours a year on an average year. So, and it's one way to think about the size of it. I mean, it is a small, in the big picture, small.
Right.
It's 7 megawatts. I mean, the Westar Energy Center is 600 megawatts. But David Orr, who speaks a lot on energy issues, says, you know, listen, as far as our energy resources are going to go in terms of solving our problems, there is no silver bullet. There's only silver buckshot. So we like to think of ourselves as a nice piece of silver buckshot.
I think it's great.
So my dad just was always researching this and working really hard. And then when energy prices started to make it look like we might be able to do it, and then we had this really capable plant manager, and then you know, my dad started talking to Olson Associates, our engineers that are, you know, regional engineers that have offices in Kansas and Nebraska, and then started talking to contractors about, you know, what it could possibly look like. And, you know, all the pieces just started to fall into place. And then there's so much that goes on in terms of licensing and all these pieces. And initially, I kind of just said, you know, I thought to myself, oh, this is just too big of a hurdle. Like, how are we this? How are we really going to do this? And it felt really scary. But well, my dad wanted me to do it.
But you need attorneys and accountants and
it looks
legislature people. I mean,
it looks so daunting, and but you know, if my dad, whatever my dad told me to do, I'd pretty much just execute. Like, I really, we get along so well. I love my dad, and I kind of, in my mind, I'm thinking, well, we'll just keep going till we hit that wall, and then I'll say, well, we tried, you know. And then the hurdles just kept getting through them, and all of a sudden, you know, then I walk in the building yesterday, and I was like, holy cow, you know, here we are standing here in this building, and when you look at all the hurdles that we had to get through between yesterday, you know, and when we first started thinking about it really seriously in the spring of 2008, it's amazing everything we had to get through.
I mean, financially, this is a pretty big project as well. And how did that all work? I mean, you were able to get some bond money.
That was a hugely complex process, and again involved so many people. You know, you referenced at the beginning of the show, you know, what a cool town Lawrence is, and we had so many people on our team, locally and regionally, that helped us get through this really daunting process. We did issue $25 million in bonds. And people sometimes are kind of hard on the Recovery Act, but I will tell you that 3 of our funding mechanisms are related to the Recovery Act. And it's what tipped our project over into being doable. And that's over 13,500 engineering hours. And on a big day out on that job site, we've had over 105 guys out there working. And when people are complaining about the Recovery Act, I want to say, oh my gosh, we pretty much single-handedly kept our engineering team afloat during a dark time. And our contractors were like, can we get started?
Yeah.
And we've kept them busy through, I mean, who knows what would have happened to those firms had our job not been here. I mean, and
absolutely,
likewise for so many, we're buying from Cottons, you know. Our guys are supporting all these local things. I walk down Massachusetts Street, I see their trucks.
Well, they're eating out.
I mean, Rick Renfro at Johnny's, they pretty much camp out there.
That's awesome. He loves you, I bet. Huh?
Well, we like Rick Renfro.
Rick's a great guy.
He is.
He's one of our Lawrence Originals guys, and I love Johnny's. I mean, I went to high school at Johnny's, as most Lawrence people did.
Yeah.
Well, because of drinking age is 18, you know, we were allowed to go in there. I know you did.
Well, you're a tiny bit older than me, but we won't talk about
that. Okay, that's all right. I am. I was grandfathered in. Okay, so, well, right. The Recovery Act, and that's a whole nother topic for a whole nother day,
right.
But I'm with you. The Recovery Act allowed me to buy my building.
Fantastic.
And so I would not have been able to do it without the Recovery Act. I mean, it saved me. And so,
and look at all the people that you employ today,
absolutely.
And you're still doing, you're a growing business.
And
had you not had that to get you over the line, and it got us over the line into having what is a really viable project and all that employment. And so I'm deeply appreciative of it. I think we need to get Barack here for a little campaign stop. I know we're not a swing state, but he could come to the plant, and then, you know, he could go eat at your restaurant.
Well, absolutely. And unfortunately, you know, the bad thing is that no matter what, whatever happens, Candace will be a Republican state.
Yeah, I mean, well, just, we're so close to Missouri, though. He could talk about, I mean, all those construction guys. Well, we have people coming from all over the place.
Right. But still, so, that's cool. They're coming to Lawrence, though. They're so, yeah. I mean,
and they're eating out, and they're buying stuff. And there's just, if I look at the ripple effect of how much the project has spent, it's...
Now, are you going to, will you employ more people ultimately?
We will. We've actually doubled our staff.
Okay.
And so in one of the things that I love about Bowersoc is the type of jobs that we provide. I mean, all of our guys, and we do have an all-male staff with the exception of me right now, which is kind of fun. But anyway, they're for guys that are really smart, that are really hardworking, that are not afraid, that they're constantly problem solving. They're working with their hands. They're moving. You know, these guys are not guys that want to sit behind a desk. They want to be cranking it out, solving problems, and we just have a fantastic team right now. I feel really good about the guys that we have, and part of why we wanted to do this project.
Well, you wouldn't have been able to do this project without them. Now, who were some of the critical people that you feel like helped this project go forward?
You know, I loved what you said at the beginning of your show, again, about all the resources that are available here, because when we got this project done, the financing being so hard, I mean, I look at all the people that were involved in this. The design of the building is Dan Sabatini. He did that envelope. You know, we obviously, I hope people can see, we're putting a lot more money into the envelope of that building than other hydro plants would. I mean, normally it'd be like a Butler building. And we've got all this glass and concrete because it was important to us that it be pretty, or that at least we try.
I think it's a cool looking building. I mean, it looks like a power plant.
I hope.
Mill.
Well, I think Dan and his team did a fantastic job. I love it. And I am so hopeful that people in the community see it as a beautiful addition to the site. And so I really shout out to Dan and his team.
How much more of it is coming?
Well, the basic structure is complete. Yep, and then, you know, all the glass will come in. And then the
glass.
Roof will get.
That was quite, I didn't know if those. Because they're like all portals right now. Are they?
Yeah. All so windows.
I didn't know if those would have to remain open.
No. And we'll have a nice, that clear story that wraps around that north end. I mean, I hope when you drive into town, it looks like, you know, this a classy, modern building.
Well, will there be... now we're talking about the future. I'm sorry. We could go 3 hours.
Are
there going to be tours available when
you know,
it all gets
done? We do. We do public tours at our South Plant right now. If you get on bowersockpower.com, you can sign up to do a tour at the South Plant. So we will have tours at the South and the North. And, you know, so those people will get a chance to see that. I want to tail back.
Absolutely. And you know what? We're going to take a quick break. And then we'll come back. I want to hear about all these people who've helped you make this project work. Okay?
Yeah, because we couldn't have done it without. I mean, it's all about the team.
Okay, awesome. Well, we're going to take a quick break here, and we'll be right back to LOL, Llewellyn on Lawrence on 1320 KLWN.
We're back with Llewellyn on Lawrence. Here's your host, Matt Llewellyn.
John Flood. All right. Welcome back, Lawrence Candace. This is Matt Llewellyn for LOL, Llewellyn on Lawrence. And we're talking to Sarah Hill Nelson. What is your title?
You know, I actually recently was made president and CEO.
Ooh, wow. President and CEO of the Bowersoc Mill.
I usually do owner operator though.
Partner. It
feels a little too fancy for
me.
Really.
Yeah. Wow. President and CEO of the Bowersoc Mill.
We can downplay that now.
Okay. All right, so we're talking about some of the people that made this all happen, and you talked about a couple, and then I get off on my ADD topics, and
well, I mean, I just feel it. One of the things I cannot say enough about the power of this community, and the community was so incredibly supportive of us. From you know, of course, the first person that we talked to when we were going to do the project was Ted Boyle in North Lawrence, because if you want to do anything in North Lawrence, you have to talk to Ted Boyle. And so we had the North Lawrence people get involved. And, you know, from Ted Boyle to the Sierra Club to the Friends of the Caw to, you know, when we first started doing this, we were talking to big banks because we were feeling like we were going to need this big transitional loan. And I just cannot tell you. I mean, I got so tired of running around in a suit, you know, talking to all these bankers. And then, you know, it's who ended up coming through for us? It was our local Kansas bank, Landmark National Bank. And Brad Shindamo and Pat came down there in their golf shirts. And, you know, there's nothing fancy. And they looked at the numbers and they said, okay, well, here's what you can support. And it was done. And they did the transitional loan for us, which we could not have gotten it done without them. So it was, you know, and that's not, it's your, it's our regional bank.
So you didn't have to go to Wall Street?
No, we didn't go to Wall Street. We went to our regional Kansas bank.
That's
and
great.
We, so we feel, so, you know, and then like our accountants, who are our best accountants, you know, Caroline Ettinger and David Lowenthal, you know, these people. And then our lawyers, I told you how we went to Chicago. Some of our lawyers were from Chicago and holy cow, expensive.
Oh yeah.
And how we went to their office building and I couldn't believe how fancy it was.
And did you have to like put your credit card just to walk through the
door? Yeah, to walk through the door. I was, my ears were popping when I was going up in the elevator. And the best lawyer on our whole project came from five blocks down. You know, Evan Ice is just absolutely whip smart and was so on top of it. And he was reasonable. And, you know, all those people are our team.
And he inherently knows the project probably a million times better than those guys in Chicago.
He knows us. He knows our project. He cares about our project. You know, all of those people that really are, were intimately involved. And even, you know, more on community members. You know, again, people complain about the city of Lawrence. The city of Lawrence could not have been more helpful to us.
Well, I don't complain about it. I call it the greatest city in the entire world.
I mean, the city hall, the planning department, I mean, everybody, we'd call them and they held our hands and, you know, Amy.
Agree.
Well, I mean, 100%. Said, here's what you do. Here's what you need to submit. I mean, you know, we, and I think it helps that we just kind of went and said, here's our goal. I mean, we're totally transparent, but there, we, I think we tapped pretty much every department in the city in this project and people could not have been more helpful.
That's awesome. Well, fortunately for you, it's just right around the corner.
Yeah,
so you could walk to it, walk to City Hall. But right, when I have to go, they're so helpful. I went to the DMV the other day. I had to get a title. And this gal could not have been more helpful. Here we go. I'm totally ADD off talking about the DMV. But right, I get it. Lawrence Candace is so friendly. It's wonderful. So awesome.
Well, we feel when you did have some questions too about, you know, the building and
yeah. So you talked about the architecture, and now did you get any crap from anybody about being too tall?
Well, we were worried about it, you know, and I've of course said to everyone, okay, it's going to be really tall, you know, be prepared because it is a skyline changer, and I think I felt really nervous the past few weeks as it started getting, you know, because they put that precast up and boy, it got tall in a hurry. So and I
did
feel.
Did you have a cup of coffee with Doug Compton to talk to him about tallness of buildings?
I have not had a cup of coffee with Doug, but I probably should have. But we tried to really prep people and just say, you know, it has to be a certain height. It needs to be so tall because that top floor has to get up above, out of the floodplain. And then we've got a 50-ton crane in the top floor that has to be so tall because you have to be able to pull all that equipment out of there. So it was, you know, it was going to be tall. So I feel. It just, I felt a little bit self-conscious, you know, as it's getting tall, but I just really hope that people can appreciate all the effort that we put into it. And, you know, we did have some people say, well, couldn't you have done with the bricky thing, made it more historic looking? And, you know, brick doesn't really work for the material.
And wash away.
Well,
right?
It doesn't have the longevity that the concrete does. And we went with a super high quality concrete because we want this building to last 200 years. And we kind of felt like once it's concrete, let's make it concrete. And look at those grain elevators standing behind it. And we really tried to key into the industrial, you know, North Lawrence is a combination of industrial and agriculture. And we just tried to make it fit right into that. And so we spent a lot of hours and certainly the Sabatini team put a lot into trying to make it fit. So we're hopeful everybody will like it. I know not everybody's going to like it.
Well, I think it's cool. I think it's a neat looking building.
Love it.
And it is what it is. It's a power plant. It's not a
I mean, hotel. Most power plants are Butler buildings.
Okay.
Right. So we threw down to try to make it pretty. So we hope people are happy.
I think that they will be. I mean, I actually have gone out a couple of days and just kind of watched it emerge from the river. And there are always people out there watching the construction. I mean, it's a cool thing.
Yeah.
Now, how many guys are working on that right now? Is it nearing completion? Where are we at in the whole?
We really hope to get it wrapped up and online by the end of October, early November.
We're really
coming up on it. You know, I don't know how many guys were on the site yesterday, but there had to have been near to 100 people working on the site yesterday. You know, we've got people out working on the rubber dam. You got the people on the roof. You got Liberty Erection working on the crane. You've got Kissit guys. You've got our contractors, you know, they've been fantastic too. So Kissit Construction, but that's a lot. That's one thing I don't think I realized how good that would feel. Like sometimes I stand on that bridge and I look at all those people and I just think, wow, that's a lot of jobs.
Yeah.
And that
well,
does feel good.
It's a very prideful thing. I'm the most proud of the fact that I employ 80 people.
Isn't that fantastic?
I mean, that to me is the neatest thing about owning my business.
And to continue to try to do the right, you know, part of why we did this is we want to try to improve. You know, we put so much into our guys and we need to get them to the place where, you know, our socks struggled for many, many years. And, you know, our goal is to get our guys to the place where they feel like their salary is the most competitive. You know, they're on flex time, like that they would say, I'm never leaving this job. I couldn't get a better job. And that's where we want to be. So that's, and I think as a business owner, that's your goal.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. Well, and you should be, I mean, to me, this should be a very prideful thing. You are helping. I mean, you're not only helping Lawrence, you're helping the country. I mean, you are putting power back into the grid.
Well, I try not. I mean, I do feel good. I feel really good that we're generating clean energy, and I would love to see more of it.
Right.
And I love being a part of it. I mean, I love my job. I like interacting with people on a national level. I wish nationally we would put more into hydropower. You know, I want the National Hydropower Association just came out the other day and said, you know, Barack or Mitt has got to step up and say, look, only 3% of dams in the United States have hydropower on them. There are all these dams sitting out there that don't have hydropower. I mean, there's
really?
70 gigawatts of easily developable hydropower out there in the United States.
That already has a dam on it.
That there's a dam. All you're doing is adding power production. So it's either there for flood control or a city water supply. And to be able to put a dam on that.
All right. This is kind of heavy.
That's powerful, isn't it?
This is kind of heavy.
That's big.
So there are dams out there. They're already dams. Well, answer me this question just for someone really stupid. Clinton Lake is.
You could put hydropower, and it's all about, you'd have to get into the lake. You look at the releases. You look at the head. The difference between upstream and downstream. And you have to look at the payoff. And I think the reason why more has not been developed is that it does take a long time to pay it off. A lot of investors are looking for the quick. And, you know, our bonds were 25 years. I mean, it's going to take us 25 years to get all this debt paid off. And, you know, it's, the returns are consistent. They're reliable, but they're not eye-popping.
Right, right.
I mean, you don't have anybody going, whoa. It's, you have to have people that are in it for the long run and that are doing it because they see the good.
Well, clearly, that was the country's problem, and that's economically. That's the country. That is our country's problem. Everybody wants to make a quick buck.
Well, and I think
a quick $1 million, really.
I mean, and isn't that sort of the role of the federal government, or isn't that one role of the federal government is to step in where the market can't meet that? I mean, we need as a country to be thinking long term about where our energy is going to come from. And so if there are ways that the government can structure it so that it's easier for people to get the financing to build things of this nature, then we're having a more diverse energy supply that's domestic, that's renewable. So we're not relying on people in foreign countries that quite frankly don't care for the way that we live. You know, I like the self-reliant aspect of using our own resources.
Absolutely. I'm with you 100%. And now, are there more... To me now, places like Hoover Dam. Clearly, yeah. Hoover Dam is that the biggest? Is that the biggest hydroelectric plant in the country?
Is. And I actually looked up yesterday how many megawatts it produces, and it's probably even on my phone. It's just huge.
It's huge, but you know, the level of that lake is down considerably.
Oh, I'm sure.
I don't know what that has to do with the power. I don't know where that.
Well, it would reduce the head. You know, they would produce less energy if the lake is really down. And but I think, you know, it goes back to that silver buckshot thing.
Right.
And, you know, the idea that there are all sorts of new low head applications coming out, meaning putting hydro in places where it's not huge in the mountains, you know, like Hoover Dam, but little places like the Bowerstock Dam where you're doing low head, it's 20 feet of head, you know, not 200. And so to continue to pursue having distributed energy generated all over the place rather than, you know, one giant coal-fired power plant cranking out 600 megawatts, you know, that we would have solar panels and hydro and wind and this very diverse network that's all spread out. It makes the grid more stable as well.
Well, so, okay, so when we get this thing done in October, Sarah Hill Nelson's just going to go national, right? And you're going to lead this charge to let's go hydroelectric and be the silver buckshot, not the silver bullet. We don't need to be the silver bullet, but let's be the silver buckshot.
I would love to be part of the silver buckshot. And my husband was making fun of me the other day because I was pursuing something else, some other potential opportunity. He was like, "God, you just can't stop yourself,
Will you just finish one thing at a time here?" And you know, and we're talking a little off the air about Republicans and Democrats. The Republicans have got to love your terminology because they're the hunters. They're NRA. It's a silver buckshot, baby.
Load
your weapons and let's go fire some.
Well, but we got to strike. We got to strike for this middle ground because there are things, it's the polarization we have to fight against. And we got to look at the good things that they're proposing and the good things that the Democrats are proposing. And I always try to just say, let's choose something we can agree on. Like, I always wish that Obama had started out with energy policy because it would have been low-hanging fruit. I mean, and who's going to argue against energy efficiency?
Well, clearly nobody.
You know, he could have knocked that one out of the park, dang it.
He chose health care instead. Okay, well, all right, we could talk politics another 4 or 5 hours. But this is really cool. All right, so you get done with this thing in October. Are you going to have a party? Is it going to be a big public thing?
We will definitely... touch wood, right? We're keeping our heads down. We got to get through this thing. I was told you earlier, I can't really think about the party because I'm so nervous about getting it done because, of course, every day is risk and it's a lot of, I need Botox.
You've got guys doing dangerous jobs out there. That's another concern, too.
But we definitely will have, the opportunities for the community to come in and check it out. You know, we did a tour the other day with just the North Lawrence people. And if we can get through this and get out on the other end, I want to have a big party.
Great.
So we'll...
Great.
I'm looking forward to... I hope, again, we got to... Because every day is another day you got to get through. Who knows what it's going to bring. So I almost can't bring myself to plan the party. So we'll...
Well, when you do, you let us know and we'll talk about it for sure. I think it's a great thing what's going on out there. Great thing that you're doing.
Thank you.
It's great for the community, and like what Hank said, this will be a model for the nation.
I hope so.
And let's get this thing rolling, and Sarah Hill Nelson leads the charge.
Well, Matt, I love talking with you, and I really appreciate, again, the community support we've gotten. I mean, bottom line, you cannot do something like this. I mean, Hank said, she's done this project. I'm one person here in this incredibly, it's a dynamic team. I mean, even my little sister, she called herself a spreadsheet jockey the other day.
Yeah.
I mean, my older sister, the whole community, I'm one person and we just had a fantastic team. So we're going to all keep our heads down and hope we can get through it. But I'm grateful to the people on our team and in the community, in the city for helping us get this done.
Well, we applaud you and this is a great, great part of the community. And we look forward to seeing the end result and just hearing the successes of the Bowersock Mill, and thank you very much for coming on the program. It's been a great hour. Again, we could have gone on forever, but it's been a great hour spending it with you, and I really do appreciate it.
Thanks, man.
And so that will do it for this week, ladies and gentlemen. And remember, if you own or operate a local business and want to be on the show, please give me a call at the brewery. And we'll talk about your business and the success that you have had in Lawrence, Kansas. And we know that we all love Lawrence, Kansas, the greatest city in the world. This has been Matt Llewellyn for LOL Llewellyn on Lawrence, 1320 KLWN.
Tune in every Saturday morning at 11 a.m. for Llewellyn on Lawrence. And during the week, be sure to stop by 23rd Street Brewery at Castled and Clinton Parkway and visit with owner and radio host Matt Llewellyn on your perspectives about this great place we call home.